So this is just take some time, close our eyes, and just think about all it is that God does for us in our lives every day, so much of which we sometimes take for granted. So let us just pray together. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for the opportunities you provide to us. We give you thanks that we can come here today, free from any kind of persecution, to be able to give thanks and praises to you. We give you thanks for those times in our lives when we struggle to understand, when we struggle to see where you are in the consequences and the processes and the events that take place all around us. But we know, Father, that you're there, and we praise you for the fact that you're there with us daily. We thank you, Father, for your Son, sacrifice that we may live, and we give you thanks daily, Father, for that sacrifice. Help us, Father, to come to know you more intimately. Help us, Father, to listen to your voice through the indwelling Holy Spirit, that may exceed the noise of this world. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and we love you and we give you thanks that whatever it is we do, you're always there, forgiving us daily and hourly and never turning your back. Thank you, Father, for loving us as you do. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you. We hope you've enjoyed that session of prayer and praise and the opportunity to listen to some contemporary music that hopefully will become familiar over time to everybody. It's the first time I've heard most of those, and you will agree, I'm sure, that they're lovely and repetitive and easy to pick up, and then we can worship together. It's with great pleasure that I welcome Rosie and Mick, who always comes to our service this morning, and we look forward to continuing worship with you, Rosie. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. And a really warm welcome to worship here in Knaphill on what promises to be the most beautiful day and the most beautiful bank holiday weekend. I once knew a very dear person, and he always used to say to us, last bank holiday of the year, it's downhill till Christmas now. I think there is a lot to be enjoyed between now and Christmas. So let us bow our heads. We have come to worship our gracious, loving God. We are here in his name. We come to bow our heads, to lift our hearts, to offer our praise. We come to confess Christ Jesus as Lord, to hear his word, and to seek his blessing. Let us sing our call to worship from Singing the Faith. We'll remain seated, verses 1 and 3 of number 18.
Be still and know that I am God. Be
So let us pray. Living, loving God, we praise you for the way we experience your presence as we come to worship. The way this time enables us to focus our thoughts upon you. Help us to recognize you are involved in every aspect of our lives. In every part of the world and in every situation. Equip us at the end to go back with new conviction, vision, hope, and faith. Living God, speak to us as we worship you. Challenge and confront us through your word. Meet with us in our prayers. Respond to the worship we bring you and fill us with a new sense of your presence in our lives. May the affairs of our daily lives be illuminated and enriched by our being here this morning. Ever-present God, help us to find you always. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's just take a moment to think back over this past week and thank God for all the blessings that we have received. Heavenly Father, you bless us with so many good gifts. We thank you for those now. for those blessings that we have enjoyed during this past week. And Heavenly Father, we also ask for your forgiveness this morning, for those times when we've been more concerned with the outside than the inside. Help us to understand that you see us as we really are, that you see behind the mask that we sometimes wear for the world. Nothing can be hidden from your gaze. Heavenly Father, transform our minds and renew our spirits, and help us to walk more closely with you. And we ask these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. So let's stand to sing this morning traditional hymn of praise, Holy, Holy, Holy. This morning's reading now, and I've actually split this into two parts for reasons that I hope will become clear. But before we listen to the first few verses from Luke's Gospel, I'm just going to put it in context for you. The 13th chapter of Luke's Gospel records several parables and teachings told by Jesus. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, which he embarked upon earlier. And some of the parables that you can read, if you want to later on, includes a parable of the fig tree and the parable of the mustard seed. But we're going to focus this morning on Jesus's healing of a crippled woman. And we're going to listen to the first part of that now.
This reading is from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 13. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Thanks be to God.
So, the scene is set. It's the Sabbath, and they had gathered together in the synagogue. The important people were sitting on the benches that would have lined three sides of the room. Jesus was probably on a small raised platform that was reserved for those who were speaking. The poorer people would have been sitting on the dirt floor. And among all these people is an invisible woman. A woman that we are told for 18 years had been bent over by a crippling spine condition. For 18 years, her viewpoint has been confined to a few feet above ground level. She's become a shadow figure, always there, but rarely acknowledged. Then, as we heard in verse 12, this happens. Jesus could have waited until he'd finished teaching, but he doesn't. Luke writes, Jesus saw her and called her over. He stops in the middle of what he was saying. Can you just imagine for a moment the impact that that must have had? To say there must have been an audible gasp is a bit of an understatement. But there again, what does it mean to be noticed? It's human instinct, isn't it, to want to be noticed? Some people will go to great lengths to ensure that it happens. If you Google being noticed, you can find a range of sites that will tell you how about to get noticed at work, to get noticed socially. It's also a fact that there are some behaviour patterns, particularly in children and young people, that are simply a cry for attention. Negative behaviour that simply says, notice me, please. And yet, there are also many others that do not want to be noticed. Those who want to remain under the radar. This may be for many reasons, but one of them is so often that self-confidence is low, belief is low, and they want to stay in the shadows, away from any kind of scrutiny. And then there are some things, consciously, that we choose not to notice. Turning a blind eye to something that we should do something about, but we don't want to. So here's the question. Who or what have you noticed this past week? During the course of the week, we can be surrounded by many hundreds of people, whether travelling to and from work. They might cross our paths for just a few seconds, and then they're gone. But unless something out of the ordinary happens, they will never be more than passing strangers. I had a really valuable experience this week that I want to share with you. I was in Guildford, and I was approached by a young lad working for a charity. I'm sure no different to many of you. But the first thing that he said to me was, "Thank you for stopping. So many people just ignore me and walk by." What a sign of the times. We went on to have a conversation about being noticed. And I think, I hope, that at the end, we both felt the richer for having shared something of ourselves with each other. And as I walked away, I pondered the fact that this has happened to me the very week that the gospel reading was about being noticed. And Jesus was the master of noticing people, wasn't he? Even when he was surrounded by hundreds of people, he noticed them as individuals. He just seemed to know where there was someone who had a need. He noticed the men who were to become his disciples going about their work. He noticed women, so often ignored by society. He noticed Zacchaeus up in his tree, Matthew collecting taxes, the woman at the well, and so the list goes on. He noticed with compassion and understanding and love. And he noticed other things as well. He noticed how some of the guests were choosing the best places to sit at the table. He noticed the disciples turning away the children. And he reacted angrily when he saw what was happening in the temple courtyards to those who could least afford it. He noticed with different eyes. There's a wonderful prayer that I'm sure many of you know by Saint Teresa, and it has these words: "Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of God must look out onto the world." Jesus wants us to notice for him and respond to him however we are able. We can do this as individuals, and we can do it as the body of the church. And there are many examples of how churches within our very circuit are responding to what they notice in the community around them. When we respond in these circumstances, it allows the presence of Christ to be noticed by others. We're all aware, sadly, that there have been all too many times recently when the church has been noticed for all the wrong reasons. We have it in our hands to ensure that it is noticed for all the right reasons. A place where the love of God can be discovered by everyone. A community that both notices and is noticed for the way it shares the gospel. Jesus was surrounded by crowds, but noticed the individual. So what can we learn just from this one part? Perhaps that we should pray, that we should ask God to help us notice opportunities and situations to share our faith, making the gospel real in our activities and our communities. And we're going to continue our worship now by singing a slightly more modern hymn that talks about our walk with one another. Brother, sister, let me serve you. So we're now going to listen to the next part of Luke's account.
So this reading continues, chapter 13, verses 14 to 17. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work. So come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Thanks be to God.
So, Jesus has stopped speaking and he has become involved with a conversation with the Jewish leaders who are indignant about the misuse of the Sabbath. During this conversation, Jesus uses three words that sometimes slip under the radar because we're focusing our attention on exchanges with the religious leaders. We heard it in the reading. Jesus refers to her as daughter of Abraham. She is the only person in the whole of the Bible that is called by that name. Wow. The fact that it is used by Jesus is deeply profound, because in applying these words to this woman in this way, he has given her something special. Jesus has given her her identity. Jesus sees her just as she is. The suffering she's endured, the loneliness linked to her infirmity, 18 years lived in the shadows, barely acknowledged by those around her. But he sees the whole picture, as only he can. Describing her as a daughter of Abraham, Jesus is telling his listeners, this woman who has been living some sort of shadow existence is loved by God, is accepted as an inheritor of the covenant promise made to Abraham, and she will be an inheritor of the new covenant that he himself is going to seal with his death and his resurrection. Her identity has been confirmed by God. We all need an identity, don't we? Do you know one of the most popular programs over the last few years has been the BBC's Who Do You Think You Are? It's led to a huge upsurge in people wanting to find out more about their family's influence. And whilst we can't all be like Matthew Pinson and trace our heritage back to the kings and queens of England, many people have found deep satisfaction in being able to find something of their family's identity, where they have come from and what has influenced where they are. One of the most painful lessons that refugees frequently speak of is the loss of identity. If I asked any of you to look in your purse or wallet at this moment, I'm sure you would be able to produce a whole host of cards that would give clues to your identity. We're using more and more technology to keep our identities safe. Facial recognition, fingerprint passes, etc. And we all understand the issues that can arise when something goes wrong. Mistaken identity leading to miscarriages of justice. Have you ever had to sort out a dispute between children and heard the words, "But it wasn't me"? The anger and injustice that is felt at such an early age. And then, of course, one of the scourges of our digital age is a stolen identity, isn't it? If that has ever happened to you, you will be all too familiar with the practical and emotional problems that cause and the time and energy it takes to sort it out and unravel the mess. Our identity is special to each one of us. But who are we really? How well do we know ourselves? Who is the face behind the face that the world sees? I want to share these words with you. I'd love them to be mine, but they're not. They were written by Marjorie Dobson. Some of you might be familiar with her wonderful poems. This is called The Mirror, and it's just a part of it. In the mirror, reflected, see the face you know or think you know. Study carefully. Mark each line. Note the colour of eyes, lips and hair. Take into account the image you see a reflection of yourself reversed, looking only from your side. Now look again. Is there a resemblance to a parent, sister or brother? Some faded, photographed ancestor? Or do you ever wonder if your looks belong to your family at all? That really you, or has some stranger invaded your space, and the person you thought was you is only some distant memory? Then, as you wonder, absorb the fact that your loving God knows your face even better than you do yourself, and allow yourself to understand that the God who sees you so clearly now knows you by name, calls you by it to be a treasured child of God. In his letter, John writes these words: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Many things define us and give us our identity: our life experiences, our culture. But ultimately, it's our identity in and with Christ that should matter to each of us. And our confidence in that identity should free us to live the way that he intended. Paul, in one of his letters, writes these amazing words: we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We have been chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, grace lavished, and unconditionally loved and accepted. At the heart of what it means to be Christian is that we have received a new identity, an identity that allows us to be our true selves. In a moment, this woman was not only blessed with healing, but has had her identity proclaimed openly. All her perceived labels have been dismissed with these three words. For us, the world may assign us labels. Perhaps we assign ourselves labels. But the truth is that the only identity that matters is the one that we find in our gracious, loving God. The label that matters to us is that he calls us child of God. Amen. We're going to worship now with another hymn, a hymn that reminds us of the majesty of our glorious Heavenly Father, who calls us a child of God. King of Kings, Majesty. Please be seated. We are now going to be led in our prayers of intercession this morning.
Good morning, all. First of all, I thank KMC and Helen for giving me this opportunity. I've never done it, but I'm a great believer in prayer. Because of that, I'm in UK. My prayer was answered in 1968. This is from Paul. First quotation. Dear Lord God Almighty, our Father in heaven, I urge, then first of all, that request, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. And this is my part here. This intercession is based on the love of God through Jesus Christ, as we heard today so far. At KMC, this is our prayer of intercession. God has given us His Son, Jesus Christ, to serve us, as you heard. Therefore, let us pray for our head of the government, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and her family, the elected governments and the opposition parties, that they may be guided to uphold justice, equality, fairness, goodwill, and actions that enhances physical, mental, and spiritual well-being and balance life. Let us pray for the mercy of God Almighty through His Son, one and only beloved Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let us pray for the mercy of God Almighty. Let us pray that the not well off are helped, social and health care, to enhance standard of living, dignity, and self-esteem. Lord, please say it together, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the security forces and keepers of the law and order. We pray against terrorism, knife crimes, and inhuman acts in UK and abroad. Let us pray for to use our resources purposefully and protect the environment, the nature God Almighty created for us, all human and non-human creatures. Let us pray for all who are bereaving their loss of their beloved, their homeland, and those who are suffering acutely, chronically, and terminally ill in their mind, body, and spirit. Lord, God Almighty, graciously hear us through Jesus Christ, Your beloved one and only Son. You sacrifice Him for our sins. Let us pray for the people who have lost their jobs, those facing redundancies and financial difficulties at home and abroad. Difficulties, crisis. We remember Paul went on a cruise, not the one of island hopping now, but he went to all these places that we read in the New Testament. I was with him last night on a cruise to all these countries. Let us pray for those made homeless and are homeless, sleeping in the street in UK and abroad. Refugees, prisoners of conscience and politics, abroad and at home. Lord, please say together, in Your mercy.
Yes.
Let us pray for the food banks and the clothing banks and the community freezes, and the interfaith dialogues between the different faith at home and around the world. Let us pray for the warmongers and those who use religion to justify murder and torture of fellow human beings, that they find God's mercy. Let us pray for the world leaders, leaders of the nation who do anything non-godly for their egos, power, and dominance over militarily and economically weaker nations and neighbors. Let us pray for those in the last 12 to 24 hours are faced with tragedy, tragic loss of life of loved ones, loss of property, and those affected by the epidemic of communicable diseases and pollution, and affecting man, human, and non-human creatures of the land and sea. We remember God's creation as we pray for intercession. Let us pray for the mercy and the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Almighty God appointed him for us. Let us pray for his churches and followers. Lord, in your mercy, God, hear our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. As we say the prayer of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, taught us, shall we say it together? Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And save us from being led into temptations, the power of God. And deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us share freely given to us, so freely by God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, his love for all humanity. Thank you.
Thank you so much for leading our prayers of intercession this morning. You have blessed our worship with those prayers. Thank you. This morning's offertory will now be received. Blessed us with so many good gifts. We ask that these gifts of money we have bought this morning will be blessed by you and direct the use of these gifts to further the work of your kingdom here in your world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we stand to sing our final hymn of worship this morning, a hymn well known, well loved. So let us sing together, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Oh.
leave this house of worship knowing that you are a child of God and are loved more deeply than you could ever imagine. May you take with you God's love in your heart to share with all that you may meet in the coming days and weeks. And let's share together the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.